for the privilege God's given us to come and deliver our heart to help God's people. As Brother Ken said, I have seen a lot of change. As a matter of fact, I'm glad I've changed a little bit. When I first started out, I wouldn't have listened to me. But I'm glad it's the Word of God will never change, and we've got something that we can give to God's people to help. You've come today to get help from God, and I hope that God will do just that. I love your pastor. He's a special true friend to this preacher. And I appreciate the work God's given him here and the man of God he's given you to lead you. You hold his hands up. You pray for him and his dear wife. I think many times we forget the wife of the man of God. I know I'd hate to think where I'd be today if it was not for my lovely wife that God's given to me. It'd be 47 years if God lets us make it to September. But if she don't change, I don't know if that's going to take place. I want you to turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. You will stand. You some already doing that in reference to God's Word. I would appreciate it. I want to begin reading verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Father, we would ask you for a fresh anointing today. Lord, I pray that you would lead us in the direction that we should go and give us sense enough to follow you. And Father, what's said here today may it bring honor and glory and praise unto thee. If it be one lost and undone without you, do that work. As only you can, open the eyes, draw them unto yourself, and save them. We'll praise you for that, for the child of God. I pray that you would help us to be revived. Dear God, we leave this place today saying it's been good to be in the house of God and glad that we can walk with the God of heaven. Have your way now, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I do not need to tell you this morning, you already know this, but the book of Genesis is a book of first. It is a book of facts. It is a book of faith. It is a book of forecast. It is a book of funerals. And it is a book that can be called the seed plot of the Bible. Everything has its beginning in the book of Genesis except God. God has no beginning. God comes on the scene saying, "In the beginning, God." That takes an act of faith. If I can believe that God is, I can believe the rest of the Bible. If you have sense enough to believe in the beginning God created, then praise God, you can read the rest of the 66 books that God's given us. And when I say the Bible, I'm still old-fashioned enough and still man of God enough to say the blessed authorized 1611 King James. I'm not here to ride a hoppy horse and to tell you that. You know that the Word of God is true, it's real, it's inspired. It'll stand when everything else is gone. But I do want to say this to you this morning. You had better get it settled that you have the Word of God and not just a copy of the Word of God. You better get it settled that God said, and what God said is the only thing that matters. And as we look at this book this morning, it gives us a tremendous thing and a thought that we can walk with God even in the day that we are in. And as we begin to look at this morning, we find a man that's called Enoch. Enoch, of course, is a special man in the Word of God. He's mentioned only three times. He's mentioned in the first book of the Bible that I read out of this morning, in the book of Genesis. He's mentioned in the book of faith, in the Hebrews Bible, chapter 11. And then he's mentioned in Jude, chapter 1, where we are told the final mention of his name. Jude, according to my study, was a tremendous, Enoch, according to my study, was a tremendous man of God. He was a man that didn't pull any punches, even in a day when it was not popular to stand on truth and to walk with the God of heaven, according to Jude. And as we begin to look at his life this morning, I'm thankful that as we look at this man, I want to deal with him today for a few moments. Genesis chapter 5 could very well be called the funeral chapter of the Bible. And you begin to read this chapter, you find the words, and he died, 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 and he died. Doesn't sound too fascinated, but it is a fact. But God exposes the liar of Satan, that Satan said, thou shalt not surely die. So God goes in the grace chapter 5 of Genesis and said, but in the midst of all of this, I want to show you that my word is true, it's alive and it's well, and although they lived for long periods of time back then, we find out that they died. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. That sort of does away with this hellacious lie that's hatched in the pits of hell called soul sleep. And I want to tell you that when you die this morning, if you are saved, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You don't hang around and wonder if you're going to get in or try to be prayed in. If you are lost, you'll lift up your eyes in hell. There's no in between, and there's nothing that says different to in the Word of God. And so as we see this morning, and he died, and he died, and he died. As a matter of fact, in this chapter, it is God that records the glory line of Seth. There were just two kinds of people living on earth in Enoch's day. Those two kinds of people were the descendants of Cain and the descendants of Seth. In chapter 4, we have the record of Cain's kind of people. They live for the present world. In chapter 5, we have the record of Seth's kind of people. They lived in the for the world to come. Then Cain represents the wicked and that which is of flesh. We find Seth represents the godly and that which is of the spirit. In order to give us the record of Cain's kind of people, the Holy Spirit uses a marketplace in chapter 4. But in order to give us the record of the of Seth's kind of people, of all places, he takes us to the morgue. I'm glad I'm in a church this morning and not a morgue. I'm glad I'm in a place that's alive and not dead. But of all places that God chooses to take us to the godly line and the spiritual line, he says that he died and he died and he died till we get to Enoch. And then he begins to show us something that takes place, that transpires, that's very unusual. Thank God, I'm glad that if we die to self, we can live unto God. I'm thankful that when we come to the old rugged cross and realize that it's not us, but it's all him, then praise God, business picks up and we can have that life that Jesus Christ gives. Not just life, but abundant life, eternal life that will never be done away with. Now, as we begin to look at this, but telling you this morning again, I believe that God chooses this by inspiration, and he has the man of God to write it down as the Holy Ghost leads him. And I believe we could go to Psalms 116 and verse 15, where it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the depth of his saints. And I want to remind you that God said twice about each godly man in Genesis chapter 5 that he lived. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. And so he lived. He lived. Although God says, and he died, and he died, and he died, he still says about the godly line, and he lived, he lived, he lived. When we come to verse 21 through verse 24, we have something different. Instead of a tomb, you have a translation. God did something he had never done before up until that point. But thank God he certainly intends to do again. There's coming a day when he's going to translate those that are alive in Christ Jesus, our precious Lord. He took a man to heaven without having to die. I want you to look at Enoch's life this morning for a few moments. First of all, I want to look at what we will call surrounding gloom. Secondly, we will look at saving grace. Thirdly, we will simply identify with simple goodness. And then we will look at sudden glory, all because of a sovereign God. The first thing that I want to look at this morning We are told in the Word of God that we can walk with God. I was thinking this morning, early this morning, as I was preparing, getting my heart ready to come to the pulpit. I was thinking about the psalmist. And the psalmist said in 116, in verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. We are living in a day when people think that you can't walk with God. We are living in a day when people think that it's not done the way it used to be done. We are living in a day when people think when you're walking with God, it has every definition from A to Z except what it really means to walk with God. I've even had people to tell me, said, preacher, this is a different day. It's hard to walk with God in our day. Oh, is that so? It's hard to serve God in our day. Is that so? I tell you, preach, it's just not like it used to be. I don't think that we can do what we used to do in the old days. Well, I looked through this Bible and I find out that there were some men that God used to walk with Him. And it's not always a bed of roses. It's not always a rose bush that's in bloom, that when you're walking with God and serving God, it's not always on the lifetop mountain experience. I want to say this morning that when we look through the Word of God, we find that God says, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Last time I checked, I believe a path had to do with walking. I believe God will direct your path. I believe God will let you walk with Him, and that's what we need in this day that we are in. I believe this morning that when we look at Adam, he walked with God, yet he fell. We look at Abel, he walked with God, yet he was slain. We find Noah walked with God, yet judgment came. We find that Joseph walked with God, yet he was in prison. We find that Moses walked with God, but he didn't go into Canaan. We find that David walked with God, but he sinned. And we could go on and on and on and find example after example after example of godly men down through the ages and even in this day that have walked with God and are walking with God. Yet there are problems, yet there are mountaintops that we have to get to. And then on the top of that mountain, there's always two valleys that you'll go on one side of the other. But I'm thankful this morning that in this day, we can still walk with God. Could I remind you that Enoch walked with God even though he was surrounded by gloom? When we look at Enoch's life, we find out that socially he lived in an age of permissiveness. I want to say to you, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. How do we know that? The next chapter. In Genesis chapter 6, man could not even think without being wicked. Could not even have a pure thought to come in their heart and in their mind. It was a day when men were allowed and did what they thought was right in their own eyes. Sounds a little bit like the day that we're living in. Sounds a little bit like the day that we're caught up in. That man's doing what's right in his own eyes. It's a permissive society. Oh, preacher, that's all right. You don't need to say anything about this or say anything about that. Let it go. It's the age that we're living in. I've seen over my 65 years in this world and my 40-some years of being saved and 37 years of pastoring, I've seen that the results of sin is always the same. As a matter of fact, what happens is we accept sin. That is, we consent to it. Then we tolerate sin. We allow it. The next step is we condone sin and we overlook it. And then the last thing is we justify sin. And here it comes. I face this every day of my life. We justify it. I want to tell you something this morning, friend. It makes no difference with this preacher what you think about it or what your opinion is. Sin is still sin. Sin is still wrong. And it's wrong to do what God says not to do. I want to tell you that when we begin to tolerate it and we begin to condone it and we begin to justify it, we lose the moralness of our walk with God. We lose our coolness and the freshness of the day and we lose that which we once had. Thank God we can never lose our salvation, but you can lose that fellowship and you can lose that peace that you have with God. I want to know this morning that although we are surrounded by gloom and socially we live in a permissive society, it's still possible to walk with God. It's still possible to walk home with the sovereign God of heaven and to do that which He requires of us to do. I'm glad that God allows me to come to Him. I'm thankful that God calls my name. I'm thankful that God fellowships with me. I'm thankful that although in a world of hell, we still can live and walk with the God, sovereign God of heaven in the cool of the day and hear His voice and the fellowship with Him day by day. What a wonderful thing it is to know that although this world is full of gloom and this world is full of permissive sin and people are not looking at it like they used to, we still can have some holy living to walk with God and do that which brings honor and glory with Him. There's nothing worth losing your walk with God. There was a day he was surrounded by sudden gloom socially because of permissiveness. Every man doing that which was right in his own eyes. It was a day he was surrounded by gloom scientifically. He lived in an age of progressiveness. Have you ever in your life seen the technology that's in this world today? I've never in my born days. I drive an automobile now. Unto God, if you don't know something about a computer, you don't even crank it. I want to say the shade tree mechanic days are over, unless you want to have a nightmare. We have come a long way, but I want to say I'm thankful. Somebody says, give me the good old days. Well, some of the good old days may be all right. And some of the things we did in the good old days may all be all right. But you can have your good old days. I'm thankful, hallelujah, I don't have to heat my water to take a bath in a tub in the sunshine. And I don't have to carry my water from a spring up to the tub to put it in. And I don't have to go to the store to get some kerosene so I'd have a light for the night. I'm glad I can flip a switch and the light comes on. The bill's paid. I'm glad we've come a long way. I'm thankful for the technology. But unto God, God never changes. And God's never changed. No matter what the technology, no matter what we come, no matter how far advanced we get, God will never change the way He wants to be worshipped. You always come through His Son, Jesus Christ. But it was sudden gloom. We can say much about that. That was a surrounding gloom. They were socially lived in a permissive society. Scientifically, it was progressiveness. And then spiritually, it was an age of presumptuousness. True faith had all but dissipated from off the earth. You don't hear of men worshiping God. You hear of them dying and dying and dying. You don't see in chapter 4 about the blood sacrifice being so precious. You find out that the emphasis is on that the religious crowd hated that blood and did that which was right in their own eyes. In chapter 4, you find out that they had taken away from the blood sacrifice and He didn't want to come God's way. Could I say to you, although it's sudden gloom and we are living in an age right now just like it was back then when a man of God says Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, he's a culprit. When he says there's not but one word of God, he's looked down and knows that. I want to tell you something this morning, friend. Thank God, I'm glad it's still the blood or it's hell. It's still the old-fashioned way and it's still the cross of Jesus Christ. And you still bring to God that which He requires. It was a blood sacrifice, thank God, even in that gloomy situation and that surrounding was all that gloom and they were laughed at. Even Noah, just 8 people of that whole generation believed God and came into that ark. Even Noah had to put up with the stuff that Enoch put up with, and it got worse and worse and worse until God said, that's enough. I don't know how much further God's going to let America go. I don't know how much further God's going to let some of His children go, but it's still grace. Grace, marvelous grace. It's just the grace of God that we are not frying in hell this morning anyway, and it's just the grace of God that God does for us what He does for us. But I want to tell you something. We are at the edge of going out of here. So Enoch walked with God. Well, preacher, I can't walk with God. Yes, you can. If you are saved by the grace of God, thank God, although you're surrounded by gloom and all these problems and these things come your way, you still can walk with the God of heaven. Secondly, not only do we see him walking with God in spite of surrounded by gloom, we see him walking with God as he experiences saving grace. The only way you can walk with God is to experience the saving grace of God. Am I talking to people this morning that's had an experience of grace? Am I talking to somebody this morning that knows what it is to be brought to the foot portals of hell itself and realize that's where you are going to step off into? But God steps in and God does something for you that no one else can do. And God saves your soul and turns you around and brings you to Him in the midst of this sudden destruction that's going on. Oh, hallelujah, for the saving grace of God. He had a conversion, as far as I can tell, at age 65. Oh, my God, 65 years he walked without God. But then one day on his 65th birthday, or shortly thereof, thank God, there come a knocking on his door. There come a ruffling of the wind, and there come something that stirred his soul. There come something that opened his eyes, and praise be unto God, that work of God was done. You see, you'll listen to a Baptist preacher this morning that believes God has to do that work, whether it be in Genesis or Revelation or anywhere in between. And so God comes walking on the scene. God begins to do some talking, and Enoch begins to see things a little differently. He had a conversion, and God saved him by His marvelous grace. It could be that Adam and Enoch had talked a little bit along the way. It could be that Adam had come to Enoch and said, Enoch, you see over yonder where that garden used to be? He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, boy, there were some glorious days there. Praise God. I remember walking in the cool of the day. I remember when God would come and Eve and I would go and we'd fellowship with Him every day. Thank God it was a time that God would give us our orders and we'd get fellowship with God and we would go. But He said, something happened, son. He said, oh, one day, He said, my eyes was wide open. I knew what was going to take place. I knew exactly what was going to happen. I knew what I was doing when I did this. And He says, I listened to the devil. He said, I want you to know something. He said to God that was in that paradise and the glory of God that was there. He said, it left me. And He said, for the first time, I saw myself naked. For the first time, I saw myself what I was really in God. And He said, I was ashamed. He said, I was ashamed. And He says, I ran and I hid. Could I ask you something this morning? Do you think that you can hide from God? Do you think you can hide your sin from God? Do you think that you can run and hide just because you are ashamed? I want to tell you something. You ought to feel like hiding. It ought to make you ashamed. It ought to make you that way. But then God comes on the scene. And I can hear old Adam talking to Enoch and said, Enoch, I'll never forget those words. Said, he called my name like nobody's ever called him before. He said, that day he talked to me before. He said, but that day when he came, it was something different. He said, I heard his voice. And he said, Adam, where art thou? And he said, I want you to know. He said, boy, it penetrated my heart. A call got to me. He said, it opened my understanding. And he said, oh, I got so afraid. And he said, what I did, I grabbed the first thing I could do called works, and I sewed me some fig leaves together. And he said, I tried to impress God. But I challenge you this morning, friend, there's nowhere in this Bible that God ever recognizes man's works for salvation. And so God didn't recognize that, but He did kill an innocent lamb, clothed him with the innocent skin, and thank God there's no remission of sin without the shedding of the blood. He said, I told my son. He said, I'm telling you. He said, I told my sons. He said, we got them together and said, look, now we goofed. We sinned. We brought hell in this place. He said, but I'm going to tell you something. God will forgive. God's got a requirement. And let me tell you something. Abel, it's got to be the blood. Let me tell you something, Cain, it's got to be the blood. He said, but that boy of mine, I brought him up the way he should have been brought up. I told him everything that God told us to tell him. He said, there's his will that he's exercising to go his own way. And said, instead of coming by the way of the blood, he went by the way of the works. He said he got the best thing that he had to offer, but God didn't accept it. He said, but thank God, I want to tell you something, Enoch. He said, if you'll come to God and you'll take care of that blood, if you'll bring that blood and you'll call on God, He'll save your wretched soul. Thank God He'll do something for you. Oh, Enoch says, I got to experience this. Glory be unto God. I got to have a little of this grace you're talking about. I want to talk to this God that you were talking about. I want to fellowship with this God that you talked about. Adam's testimony was, thank God, you can fellowship with Him, but you got to go through the blood. So that was the day he experienced saving grace. How'd he get it, preacher? God gave it to him. God gave it to him. And he walked with God. I want to call this message, and he walked on. That was sudden. Oh my God. As God came down and God done a work, He experienced the saving grace of God in that surrounding gloom. As he walked day by day and walked on day by day, there came a day in his life that he experienced saving grace. I never shall forget today. Thank God that the Holy Ghost came my way. Hallelujah. He didn't stop in those West Virginia mountains. He come on down to Virginia foothills. Came on down the road of Halifax. Come into that 67 Chevelle, and glory be unto God. Done a work into my heart. Turned me around. Carried me back down to that tent. I got out and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I experienced the saving grace of God. It's never been the same since. Oh, Enoch got turned around. Parked his Chevelle in the grapevines. Come out from the tent path. And says, glory be unto God. Adam was telling me all about this fellowship. But I've never heard the voice like this. I've never experienced peace like this. I've never seen anything like this. He said, I used to go down to the meetings. He said, we used to go down to the church. I'd sit on the back row and pass notes. He said, I used to go down and say, I wish they would hurry up and shut up. And I'd leave. He said, but boy, there was something different about this day. There was something different about when Jesus passed by. There was something different about the saving grace of God that God done for me. Enoch walked with God in a day that was surrounded by gloom, and he walked on. Enoch walked with God in a day because he had experienced saving grace, and he walked on. He had continuing experience. 300 years he walked with God. Continuing on and on and on. I realize people fall. I realize people backslide. I realize that there are periods of life that we get off the path. I realize there's times when we're not as close to God, or we're always close to God, but we don't feel as close to Him as we did at other times. I realize there's times when you try to pray and the words just fall off your mouth and you feel like they don't get out of your, off your lips. I realize there's dark times, and I realize there's depressed times, and I realize there's dangerous times in these days that we're in. But I'm going to tell you, don't you ever lose sight. If you've experienced the grace of God and the saving grace of God, He'll never leave nor forsake you, and He'll always take you back. But we've got to a place unto God, Brother Ken, I believe you'll agree with me. There are people that'll go away from God. They'll have sin in their life, and they'll walk that road, whatever it may be. And yet they come back to church, hadn't been for 6 months. And bless God, they never say, I'm sorry. They never say, I've repented. They never said, forgive me. They never do that. They think they can pick up right where they left off. Friend, it ain't going to happen. If you're going to walk with God, there's some stipulations. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to be first of all saved. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to be second of all sanctified. Don't be afraid of that word. It's just a word of being set apart for God and living a pure and holy life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the implication is, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, it's they and they alone shall see God. I got a problem here. If I'm the only one that's going to see God to have a pure heart, then what's got to take place? You can't do it yourself. It's got to be done by somebody else, because we've fallen short of the mark. We've missed the target. And so Jesus Christ has to pick us up. He has to save us. He has to put it in us. And He's the one that gives us the purity. Saving grace. Thirdly, and Enoch walked on in a day that was surrounded by gloom. He walked on because he experienced saving grace. He walked on simply because it was a life of simple goodness. You said, what do you mean, simple goodness? Well, he had a testimony godly. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. Let me ask you a question this morning, Liberty Baptist Church. Are you pleasing God? Are you walking with God? Don't give me that false humility about, oh, I feel so unworthy. Well, bless God, if you felt worthy, it'd be something wrong. All of us are unworthy in and of ourselves. But we can walk with God in this day that we're living in. We've been saved by the grace of God. And the simple goodness is, thanks be unto God, He pleased God godwardly. Your life is right. He had a testimony manwardly. That's what Jude is all about. God doesn't put words in His book just to take up space. The manly part is in Jude, where he preached against their ungodliness, the ungodly deeds and all these things. It talks about Jesus Christ coming back. He talks about the consequences of that sin and what's going to take place. Jude was a preacher. He was one that did not let the crowd tone him down. He was one that reminded the people that they were what they were by the grace of God. He was one that brought it up and said, these are ungodly deeds, these are ungodly ways, these are ungodly things that we're going away from God. Of all men that was qualified to say that, Enoch was, because thank God the Bible says that he walked with God. He walked with God. He walked with God. If you walk with God, you're qualified to do some things other people are not. Oh, I wonder how many of us have this testimony. He preached the coming of the Lord, judgment. He preached. He didn't know some of the truths that we know today. But yet he preached the coming of the Lord. According to my study in the Word of God, before the Lord comes with His saints, He has to come for His saints. Jude talks about Him coming back with His saints. 7 years are going to take place before that happens. Thanks be unto God, He's going to come for His saints. I could preach to you for weeks and months on things that will happen before the Lord comes with His saints. But I do not have one verse of Scripture to preach to you this morning on what's got to take place before the Lord comes for His saints. It's the intimate return of Jesus Christ. He's coming. That brings me to my fourth point. Not only do we see Enoch walking with God, although he was surrounded by gloom, because he had saving grace, and it was simple goodness of God that God would let him walk with Him. But here we see he walked with God to certain glory, sudden glory. Oh, I like what the Scripture says in verse 24 of Genesis chapter 5, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The Hebrew writers tell us that they look for Him. Somebody says, do you think we're going to be missed, preacher, when we leave? You better believe we are. Oh, I hear people say, well, the graves are not going to be open. I don't know about that. I don't really give a flip. I don't care what they're open or closed. It makes no difference with me whatsoever. But if they are open, I'm going to tell you, it'll be just for the testimony of the fact that God says, I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. Thanks be unto God. The blessed hope of every child of God here this morning, if you are genuinely saved, is that Jesus Christ could come back today. Oh, thank God, I'm glad that we've got a hope, a blessed guarantee that Jesus Christ is going to split the eastern sky. He's coming back to take us that have been saved out of here for His honor and for His glory. And we are going to be with Him forevermore. You see, O Enoch was not. There was a time when he was. But the Bible says God took him. Translated, and he was not. The rapture will take the salt out. And we will be missed. Mom and Dad will be looking for the children. Children will be looking for Mom and Dad. Dawned on me one day, there may be a few pilots that are saved. Maybe a few of them are not drunks. Bus drivers. All walks of life. All backgrounds. And this Bible says that he was walking with God. And he went out of here. Oh, it's going to be quick. It's going to be quick. And we're going to be with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I love what the Bible says concerning us going to be with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. 51. You say, well, that's a funeral verse. No, if you're saved, that's your verse. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And Enoch walked on. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For the incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Oh, what are you saying, preacher? This is a duet that should be sung. We will sing it. O death, where is thy sting? For the saints in the rapture will shout this. Oh, O death, where is thy sting? There is a promise that God's coming back, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So you better be learning that. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Why? Because that's what you're going to be singing if the rapture takes place. But there's another stanza. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Notice what it says. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? That's for the ones from Pentecost to the rapture. From the ones that have died from Pentecost unto the rapture, and they come up out of that grave, they'll look back and say, oh, grave, where is thy victory? Thank God it ain't no grave going to hold my body down. I'm glad, hallelujah, that God may put me in the ground, but there's no grave that can hold a saint of God's body down. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We're going out of here at any time. I'm telling you, friend, we've got something to shout about. We've got something to praise God about. I know it's a gloomy time. I know it's a discouraging time. I know the world's going in the opposite direction. They look down the nose at you. But thank God for old-fashioned Bible preaching that we can stand on in these last days and says, thus saith the Lord, and God's word is true, and it'll take place just like He said. And Enoch walked with God. Rapture's going to take place. I got a message one time that said I needed to study that out a little bit more. That the word rapture, if I would be intelligent enough to look, was not found in the Bible. Well, I know that. You won't find the word rapture, but you'll sure find what it means. And it simply means to be caught up, to snatch down. Go out of here. It's going to take place. Just as sure as I'm here today, thank God it's going to take place. And if God comes today, and the Lord comes today to take us out of here, if you've heard the gospel, you'll be left. You will not be able to be saved. But thank God if you are saved, there's going to be a blessed reunion. We're going to be with Him forevermore. Can I walk with God, preacher? Yes, you can. It requires saving grace. Because of the simple goodness of God, even though we're surrounded by gloom, there's going to be sudden glory, and we're going to be with Him. Oh, death! Oh, death! Won't you spare me over till another year? But I'm going to tell you, praise be unto God. The older I get and the closer I go with God and the closer I get home, it ain't going to bother me too bad. God's going to take me out of here. I'll know some things that you don't know before you get there. I can't hardly wait. If I go out of here and you coming on behind me, and when you get there, I say, come in, let me show you. Praise be unto God. I remember that day preaching and telling you about heaven. I couldn't even begin to describe it. I couldn't even begin to tell you about this paradise. Oh, by the way, thank God, look at Him. Look at Him. Oh, we've preached about Him for all these years. Pointed me into Him for all these years. And the half has not been told. Thank God for the blessed Savior, for the blessed God of heaven, for Jesus Christ that saves us in the sudden gloom and the simple goodness of God. And there's going to be sudden glory. Why, preacher? All because of a sovereign God's promise. So Enoch walked with God. And God took him. He was not. He was not found. But he had this testimony that he pleased God. His bad eyes closed. Let me ask you a question this morning. You walking with God? Preacher's rough out there. Yeah, but you can still walk with Him. It's been a day you've experienced that saving grace because of the simple goodness of God. You know this morning if the Lord shouts from heaven and says, come up hither, that you're going to be with Him. Or you're going to be left behind. This is real stuff, folks. This is just not something that we've got together with and just going to talk about. This is something that's going to happen. This was a real man that walked with God, experienced the grace of God. And thank God, what I'm telling you this morning, our hope is in Him coming to get us. Jesus Christ, our precious Lord. Somebody said, preacher, I want to testify to that fact. I know I'm saved. I've experienced that grace. I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Hands all over. Hands all over. But there are quite a few that's not raised. I don't know what you just don't care. Don't know if you're really lost. Or don't know if or what you are. But God knoweth. You can take them down. I'm going to have a word of prayer and let your pastor come. Do what the invitations he sees fit. But I've done my part. I hope you'll listen to him. And hope you'll determine in your heart and in your mind that you're going to be one of those children of God that walks with Him daily. You can walk with Him. You can. Father, thank You this morning for the opportunity we've had to preach Your Word of God. Seal these truths in the hearts of Your people. Lord, when we leave this place today, may we consider the privilege it is to walk with You, to talk with You. The song says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And He walks with me and He talks with me. I'm so glad today, Lord, that You walk with me. And You allow me to walk with You for the conversations that we can have. Have Your way now. Help the hurting. Save the lost. We'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Ken.